Welcome, everybody, to The Lonely TARDIS, your journey through Time Lords and space. We are kicking off Series 9 of Doctor Who this weekend, actually, the 19th. It airs in the U.S. and the entire world, I believe. It's this weekend. I'm one of your lovely hosts, Dolly Domofsky. Joining me is the other lovely host, one Marcus Beer.
Lovely, maybe. Let's see how we go after Saturday. Let's see how lovely I can be.
Well, your beard is fantastically lovely, so that's a positive note right there.
I'm getting gray enough now that I can actually cosplay War Doctor, no problem.
You're the John Hurt of the Lonely TARDIS. Steven will be joining us later. Sean unfortunately had to skip this week, but he will be back next week. He did send his thoughts, which I will read a little bit later on. But Marcus, we are less than a week away from Doctor Who. Six nights. Oh, I'm so excited. It is finally time for Doctor Who. Finally. A lot's happened over the last year, actually. I think we recorded last in April, and maybe there was something after that. I'm not 100% sure. Little episodes here and there, and the fans have been relentlessly sending us messages to record another episode, and we kind of waited until the time was right. There was a lot of stuff happening over the summer, a lot of people traveling, a lot of conventions, a lot of things, expos and stuff happening, and thankfully there's been a lot of news. And we'll cover just a little bit of that all today. But really, the biggest news is obviously with Series 9 coming. The trailer broke. The first full trailer broke about a month or so ago, I think it was, right, Marcus? The beginning of August. And it was quite a doozy of a trailer. And I've watched it a few times now. And the image that sticks in my mind is a doctor wearing glasses and playing guitar. And is also his new-ish outfit. He now wears the checkered pants along with his hoodie and his jacket. So he's got this interesting, youthful yet.
He looks like he's about to take over the games division at Microsoft.
Exactly. That's a great call. When we last left the Doctor, he kind of went into exile, right? Didn't he? Because after the Cybermen. And Missy.
Please don't bring up the end of last season. I'm still getting over it.
After the end of last season happened, the Doctor kind of went into exile, and we'll get into what's happened since then. But so this trailer, we see essentially a lot of the main, well-known Doctor villains, the enemies, the monsters, Daleks, Cybermen, Zygons, and a ton of things. We got a lot of stuff happening this season. We know that Missy's back, right? She's in these first two episodes, right? It's a two-parter. These first two episodes.
Yeah, I think it is. And I tweeted out this morning actually the list.
Yes.
They released the all the titles of the episodes, yeah. And it's interesting that there is they seem to be in if not direct two-parters, mm-hmm. there will be a knock-on effect from one week to the other, because it's almost like the title one week and then it's the inverse.
Yes. Yep. It looks like Steve is ready to join us. Let me add him in. Continue. The titles themselves are kind of interesting because, the first one is The Witch's Apprentice. Steven says he'll be with us soon. Okay, no prob.
Tell him that the series actually starts on Saturday, so it'd be nice to join us before.
I want to catch up, Steven, there. I'm going to read the titles here. Yeah, it did seem like they were in two-parters, or they definitely worked off each other. Yeah, the Magician's Apprentice and The Witch is Familiar. Under the Lake and Before the Flood. The Girl Who Died, The Woman Who Lived. Which is kind of, I think that's a play on the Girl Who Waited.
I have a theory about that.
Okay, all right. What's that theory? Feel free to.
I think it's the return of the Doctor's daughter.
Ah, that would be so wonderful if we finally got her back.
And I think it might be Game of Thrones girl.
I actually don't think so, because she is due in. Okay, those are her episodes 5 and 6, right? The girl who died, the woman who lived. I almost think that Maisie Williams, who plays Arya Stark in Game of Thrones and is in this season, I think she plays a historical figure more than someone from the Doctor's past. I don't think I don't think they would put a major actor right now to have that kind of connection to the Doctor, because the cost of having Maisie Williams later on, if she were a major character like the Valyard or somebody from the past, would be, you know, exponentially growing the more popular that she becomes. So
I don't know. I mean, look, she could be Romana.
Mm-hmm.
She could be, like I said, that she could be the Doctor's daughter, because you know, where she says, you know, hello, old man. And look, I mean, she could be, you know, a character that only occurs in the show once a season, if that. I mean, you know, if it's a Time Lord, it's a regeneration. It mm-hmm. could be a one-off or a two-parter, whatever, and then boom, we get somebody else. You know, we'll get somebody else in the, you know, further down the line.
Sure. The next episodes are the Zygon invasion and the Zygon inversion.
Just what we need. What is it with Zygons? I mean,
I know.
we had them on the 50th.
Yep.
We had them, you know, we had them on the was it on the boat?
Mm-hmm.
Submarine.
Yep.
Last season or the season before, and it's just, I mean, keep going. I'll unleash in a minute.
Sleep No More and Face the Raven. And then the last two episodes of this series, this season, are Heaven Sent and Hell Bent. And then, of course, we're going to have the Christmas episode, which we found a ton of information that came out. I don't know about Marcus's thoughts on that, but I'm kind of excited. But let's talk about the season and what you just brought up about the Zygons and some of the other issues.
Well, let's just say I'm fucking terrified for this season. Because, you know, I mean, anybody who's listened to this podcast before or has followed me on Twitter or, you know, basically Facebook or anything, I mean, knows that I thought last season was a fucking disgrace.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it has its defenders. We know who they are. Sean Norton.
John.
But yeah, I'm kind of worried that this will be the season that kills Doctor Who for me. You know, I've seen bits and bobs from the trailer. I kind of eye rolled at the whole Doctor being a groovy granddad rocking out with his fucking guitar. I've got a funny feeling, you know, the new season is going to bring the installation of a Wii U on the TARDIS.
Oh, geez. You
know, show how hip and with it he is. And that's the thing. I mean, the Doctor was, you know, if it's played to be the Doctor's just making a twit of himself, that's when it works. The mm-hmm. Doctor isn't, you know, he isn't like the cool, you know, he doesn't do the cool stuff. He tries to use the, you know, if he tries the terminology, it comes out lame and it's acknowledged, and that's great. I am worried. We see Missy again, and my thoughts on her are well documented. Just in general, and obviously there are a lot of people who intensely dislike me for that. But the number of fucks I give is zero. I'm just worried. I mean, look, I want to go in. I mean, and perhaps, you know, I will be pleasantly surprised, even more so because I'm going in expecting that this is going to be a bunch of Moffat-induced vomit. And it will turn out to be half decent, and that will basically push me, you know, into a happy place, and I'll accept it and be, you know, okay for a while. But you know, I looked at the prequel, the little pre-teaser that came online, and we see the actress from The Night of the Doctor, the one who basically gave McGann his regeneration potion to regen into the War Doctor.
So just to bring everybody up to speed, the as is now commonplace, I think, for Doctor Who, right before the season launches, they tend to create this short 2 to 3 minute kind of pre-season teaser trailer or a pre-trailer, and almost an event, a scene that helps kind of lead into the season. Obviously, we remember with the Ponds a few years ago, their marriage was in disarray, and the kind of the preseason scene was their marriage basically fell apart, and the doctor was bringing them back together. I can't quite remember last year's, but this year's was is called The Doctor's Meditation. And yeah, exactly that, what Marcus is saying, it stars the kind of recapitalizes on that scene that we all loved with Paul McGann.
I don't think there was one last season because we rolled into a regeneration, or we rolled out of the regeneration at the end of the Christmas special. And then into the Doctor, you know, Dinosaurs in London. So yeah, I think that was missing last year, but you know, it's, I do love the little prequels. I love the little teasers. Yep. You know, often, you know, they can be better than a whole Moffat episode scripted, you know, Moffat scripted episode, you know? So it's funny. I mean, you know, Moffat makes the, you know, he writes the little prequels, and he seems to do way better on those than he does on friggin' episodes nowadays.
Dom Tuitro at The Ramen Don on Twitter says, a question for Moffat: why are you still writing for Doctor Who?
I like this guy. I like Dom. Dom, you rock. Say hello. And I think you're absolutely right. And look, I mean, we, you know, on the subject of that, I mean, there has been some discussion. Actually, Capaldi actually said that he's not going to be Doctor Who for the long term.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which is, I mean, we might be looking at a regeneration at the end of the season.
You know, and at the end of this teaser, the Doctor's Meditation, which if you haven't seen it, go ahead, check it out. It is fun. It's nifty. They tease. So here's what comes out of it. They mention, she mentions, what was her? Well, I don't remember her name, her character's name. She was one of the witches, or
yeah, she's like the I don't know, the witches of Eastwick or something.
Yeah, something. But she basically says that, you know, he's looking for you, right? She says he's looking for you. And he brings it up, you know, anybody can find me. And she says, you can hide from enemies, you can't hide from friends. There was some banter back and forth a little bit, and it basically ended up her saying, you know, this could lead to your destruction. So there was a general sense of finality already to the Capaldi Doctor after these two seasons. So I'm interested to see if it does take place, because even if you look at some of the, you know, some of the things we talked about in the past with Clara and how tightly and closely this Doctor is connected to Clara, and she's signed on for this whole season. We're all presuming that this is her last season. She has, you know, I don't want to say worn out her welcome, but her major plot point of the Impossible Girl a couple of years ago and last year with Danny Pink and some of those things at the school, those plot points have kind of worn out. And so where does she go from here?
They were never really cleared.
That's true, right.
I mean, you know, and this is again, I mean, it's, you know, while I love the prequels, I don't, you know, I wonder why we actually have them, because, you know, half the stuff that will be mentioned in the first six episodes of the season and alluded to that will culminate will never culminate.
That is the most Moffat thing possible, right?
Yeah, they will half culminate and then we'll end up waiting for another 2 years for to try and have it explained. But the other sort of like scuttlebutt that I'm hearing is that there might not be Doctor Who next year as we know it.
Yeah. There's the rumor that they're going to be holding off for a year, right?
Yeah, the rumor is that, you know, Moffat's busy, Capaldi might be off. The BBC is in a tricky place right now.
Yes.
And this is me going to be a little bit political because a lot of people, the way the BBC is funded in the UK is through the license fee, which basically means if you have a TV and you get access to terrestrial television, you pay a license fee. And obviously, if you are of a certain age, you get a discounted one if you're unemployed and so on. And a lot of people resent that. And the current government, or the new Tory government, who were voted back in earlier this year, are very keen on dismantling the BBC because they would like a move to the US style of media, which anybody here, you know, who's in the US will realize that the
my Doctor Who figurine just fell off the floor after you heard that.
Yeah, the US media is shit.
Yeah.
And the appreciation for the BBC is quite huge if you're not in the UK, because we see what the quality programming is. So there's basically, the Conservatives are trying to do away with the license fee, defund the BBC, make it take adverts, shut down a lot of its programming, so they have to, you know, cut back on costs, and it's causing a lot of uncertainty. So, first of all, to anybody in Britain who's listening to this and voted for the Conservatives, fuck you, seriously, for, you know, basically voting those Nazis back in, and political rant off. But it's a worrying time. Doctor Who is obviously still is the biggest franchise they've got. Top Gear is now dead. In the way it existed. But Doctor Who's going to be under threat because of the way the BBC is funded. And, you know, this happened once before. This happened in the 80s, where there was another government. Oh, and this was Thatcher, also a conservative, who basically had a running battle with the BBC, got her cronies involved and, you know, put into various high-ranking positions in the BBC who didn't believe in Doctor Who and who shit-canned it. So, if anything does happen to Doctor Who, next year, and, you know, God forbid we actually have a great season this year, and I'm really excited for it. I'm probably going to go back to UK and kill every conservative voter. if you are not a conservative voter and, you know, you didn't vote, well, fuck you too, because this is your problem.
This podcast does not support violence against the conservatives or liberals in the UK Parliament.
No. It's just against the conservatives.
Well, there's one of the positives out of all of that is that AMC purchased BBC America, right? And so there's the opportunity now for AMC, which obviously puts out fantastic shows like Walking Dead and Sons of Anarchy and Breaking Bad, to potentially take on some of this funding for a more kind of exclusive role or more of a integral role into Doctor Who, which could be
worst case scenario ever.
You think that's a horrible scenario? Why?
Look, I love this country. I love Americans, but you've got no fucking place meddling with Doctor Who.
This is correct. I mean, but how
would you like it if, you take, Seinfeld, And basically you give it a British sitcoms mentality, and how many people would freak about that?
I mean, if you were to tell me that Seinfeld was coming back and it was going to be on BBC One, I would be all for it.
No, it would probably be on Dave, which is a Spike-ish channel. Uh-huh. Honestly, the idea that somebody like AMC, The Walking Dead. Walking Dead, I loved the first season. Rapidly fell asleep through the second season. I've watched a bit of Breaking Bad. I understand a lot of people love it. Fair enough. I've just never really got into it. I don't think that you've seen how some of the BBC America influence has played off in Doctor Who over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And not for the positive. No offense. I mean, you know, I love you Americans types, but what the core of Doctor Who is that it's quintessentially British. It's that this Time Lord who could go anywhere in the universe, anywhere on planet Earth, picks Britain over and over again to land, to regenerate, to sound like a Scottish person or north of England or whatever. And he's fascinated by Britain and the fact that, the fact that we've already started to see some American influences, as I've said, the Twitter warriors at work, the fingers in the pie from BBC America. That's bad enough, because I think that's really influenced a lot of how shit last season was, because it's America, that's the one where we can break and we can make a lot of money and blah 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 blah. And basically what they're doing is throwing the baby out with the bathwater. They're throwing out or nullifying that quintessential Britishness to bring in what's perceived as something that will appeal to Americans. And I think that is the wrong thing to do, because you're losing the core. It's like taking Star Wars and saying, oh, well, how do we appeal to the Star Trek fan base? Let's give everybody pointy ears.
Let's make J.J. Abrams the director.
Exactly.
Well, I'm coming from. Oh, yes. I was only speaking rhetorically. And AMC only has the distribution rights for BBC in the U.S. But, I would not want to see Doctor Who take a year off. I do like now that they've gone to the full season. So, you know, the full 12 or 13 episodes, however many in a row, as opposed to doing six and then like a 4 month break and then six again. Because it does let you have that level of consistency with the character. And I think that's what hurt Matt Smith's Doctor episodes over the years, was that they would end up being broken in half. And so having a full season is good. But I'm just hopeful that that was just a rumor and that's all it was. This has a potential to be the most successful season of Doctor Who, just with all the licensing, all the distribution. It's on all kinds of TV stations down in the US as you know, more than just the modern episodes of BBC America. You're seeing classic Doctor Who appear on BBC America and other stations. And it's become a worldwide phenomenon. It's the number one essentially the number one sci-fi show. I mean, if you consider Walking Dead, then maybe not, but it's the number one sci-fi show in the world. And so I'd like to see it continue. Obviously, we all would. But
yeah, I think we might end up getting maybe a couple of specials.
See, if we have specials, I could handle having a couple specials here and there. If it meant, you know, maybe like one every quarter, or, you know, maybe three specials, whatever. If it meant that Doctor Who was still in, you know, in some smaller projects, you know, that then I could handle it. But let's not speak ill of the future, because we don't know what'll happen with rumors. Let's just focus on what's coming now. And then one of the interesting things, so there a lot of information has leaked. So let me go through, not really leak, but they, meaning Moffat and team, have come out and confirmed a lot of these and spoken of these. So we know Missy is back in these first two episodes. They're trying to find the doctor. The only person that Clara can turn to is Missy, apparently. We'll see how that turns out. One of the really interesting things that I thought was that we're going to find out why Capaldi's doctor looks like, I think it was Caecilius from The Fires of Pompeii, which I just rewatched, by the way. One of the things I made it a point of doing was to, over the last 3 weeks or so, I've been kind of rewatching milestone episodes of this, Doctor Who from 2005 on. We watched the entire first season, from the beginning to the regeneration and so on, and then watched The Fires of Pompeii. We're going to supposedly find out why the doctor looks like Caecilius. I'm making the prediction right now. The doctor doesn't look like Caecilius. Caecilius looks like the doctor, in that we have two Zygon episodes back to back. I believe Caecilius is actually a Zygon clone of the doctor. That is my sign. I'm signing right now in blood. I don't have any blood, but that is my prediction right now. And then we have the Christmas episode, which is going to bring back everybody's favorite, River Song.
I got no problem with River Song.
Okay.
I think, has she been misused? Yes. Unfortunately, you could say that about every frigging character that the Moth Monster has created. Every character has gone from being something potentially brilliant to an absolute nightmare that you want to, just bang your head against a brick wall over. If River Song is back, it'll be interesting to see how she's handled. I mean, this will be, that's our 13th episode of the year and the last one we're going to get for God knows how long.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, apparently Missy and River Song are in it. Yeah.
I know River Song for sure. And I know, Osgood, is that her name?
Oh, it's Osgood. That's right. It's Osgood back. And yep. I got no problem with that. Osgood rules.
And I'm interested to find out how they link these back to the doctor. If they're both alive, I almost wonder now if these two episodes take place before the finale of last season.
Well, I think, look, I think the idea with Osgood is that it was, you know, either she's coming back as her Zygon, as the Zygon version of Osgood, or Osgood, it was the Zygon version that was killed.
That was killed, sure, sure.
And, you know, we don't know. And that's the thing, we never know. And all we know is that Moffat lies.
So what are your dream, what's your hope for this season? Tell me what would make you as a fan of Doctor Who be really happy by the end of the season? Without Steve, you know, I know you're going to say get Moffat canned, and I think we all want that. But what else, story wise, plot wise, character wise, would get you excited?
I'd like a bit of consistency. Mm-hmm. I'd like some payoffs. You know, I would love to see, you know, some of the stuff that we were expecting, you know, that it was going to, you know, was going to be paid off, never really was, because, you know, it's the Doctor and blah, 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 and it's Moffat. I mean, that's the thing I think I want the most. I mean, you know, if you're going to give us a bait and switch, or if you're going to give us a big fricking, you know, hoo-ha, paid off, you know, don't leave it to, you know, as if we're all going to suffer from amnesia between seasons. Answer a couple of the fucking questions. You know, let's go back to this, you know, where is the Doctor that is supposed to be darker? Because I didn't really see him last year. I saw the Doctor that was psychotic, but I don't think I saw the Doctor who was supposed to be, you know, as dark as I was hoping.
Sure.
You know, and I mean, one other really important one for me is no more fucking kids in Doctor Who.
Yeah,
I got no problem with it being a kid show and all, obviously. But I mean, when you have the irritation level of most of these kids that are appearing in the show right now, I just, no more. Yeah, it's like, as John Hurt would say, no more.
Our loyal listener, Kyle Mack, at Kyle Mack 13, says, I just want them to stop waffling and give us a smart end to Clara's story. I think we all want that. We all want to know, what is the end goal for Clara? What's Clara? What is her, what does, you know, how do we say goodbye in a meaningful way?
Good question.
I hope that happens this year. I really do, because, you know, we have instances last season and the year before, but last season, where she met supposedly a future relative of hers that was the Danny Pink lookalike, and Danny's dead. So I'm not sure where that's going. And again, I mentioned it, they keep kind of throwing these versions of her, or these plot lines for her, that never seem to go anywhere. So I'm hopeful that this season, when it all wraps up with her, which I believe this is her last year, and I hope it is, that she goes out gracefully. And she was growing on me last year. And I think there were parts of last season where I was, you know, where you kind of feel like she had become the Doctor in some ways. Like, the Doctor now was a tag team of the Doctor and Clara in some respects. And she gained, I think she had episodes where she was scripted really well. And her acting is always on point, sometimes too bubbly, but usually on point. But, you know, I want to see her gracefully go into the night. So,
yeah, I mean, if we looked at the end of the Christmas episode, where, you know, we had that thing where he went, and when he came back, she was an old woman. That maybe should have been
Clara's. And we all thought it was.
And it would have been, I think it would have been a really good one. Is something going on back there? Is somebody printing or shredding or something?
No, it's Steven Strum. Ladies and gentlemen, Steven Strum has joined us from the printing press.
No, you see, I am always shredding, because I live that rock and roll lifestyle.
You're laundering money. You're one of the narcos.
Right, I'm the bad guy from Licence to Kill. I put that guy inside the pressure
chamber. No, you're more like the guy from Catch Me If You Can.
There you go. Yeah,
Tom Hanks.
No, the other one, the Leo
character. DiCaprio. Yeah, okay, I'll take it.
I don't think so. Nope.
Not the least bit. Steven, welcome to the show. Wow. Rocket League matches were a lot of fun, but now we're putting our big boy pants on. We're talking Doctor Who. And Marcus and I just kind of did a quick little synapse or a quick little summary.
I had a very nasty synapse just now.
Yeah, a lot of cleanup was involved.
I get that when I talk to Deli too, man. I'm sorry. Yeah.
We summarized the season a little bit, went over the titles of the episodes, and we're at the point right now where we're trying to talk about our hopes and dreams for this year. So what are you've seen everything. You've seen the Doctor's medication, kind of the mini scene, the prequel scene. You've seen the trailer. You've seen the trailer for the first episode. You know who's back. Obviously, Missy is back. River Song is back. Clara is back. Asghar is back. What are your thoughts and hopes for this season?
Well, I mean, they told us it was going to be a 5-year mission at the beginning of the series, and now we're like, what, 10 seasons in or something like that, mm-hmm. and it's still going, and the Enterprise is still flying through space.
I was about to say, that's Star Trek.
It's been so long since we podcasted, I have no recollection of what we're actually talking about.
We're talking about Battlestar Galactica, you idiot.
Oh, okay. Gaius Baltar.
Oh, boy.
I actually didn't get a chance to watch the thing because I had my time zones messed up for that Rocket Creational match. So I missed that prologue.
Definitely check it out.
I'm going to after this. But based on the you're asking like what my hopes and dreams are for this mm-hmm. one. Mm-hmm. I hope that that like River Song feels more useful than she did in last season. Like she's like kind of been slowly relegated over time to like exposition dump device. And I really love River Song as a character and Alex Kingston as an actor. Mm-hmm. And I would really love to see her take a more active role in things. Cause like, I don't like her, you know, her ending is, you know, introduced in the first episode that she's in, but nothing that I've had right now feels like we have been building to any kind of like bang of an exit yep. for her, like an actual exit from the series. Whereas she goes out like the character with such a bang in her introduction.
I would love to see that she's going to be appearing in a Christmas episode. I'd love to see that episode be the lead in to her final appearance. So that episode, this Christmas episode, is her saying goodbye because she has to go to the library.
It would be nice. It would be honestly, for as much as I love that character and as much as I like Alex Kingston, like Doctor Who can only keep around supporting cast for so mm-hmm. long as mm-hmm. the same actor. And honestly, like they've run out of steam with stuff to do with her in these last couple of seasons. And maybe that has just to do with the general quality of the seasons overall. But like, I don't want to get tired of her and like have it feel like losing her was like more of a whimper than a bang, you know. I really miss that, and I think there's a lot of interesting play that we could do with like Missy and River Song interacting with each other. Like there's a lot of interesting ground there to be covered, like this weird sort of love triangle is not the right word, this love V of like two characters love this one person and then they hate each other, like going back and forth on that sort of thing, you know, with the way that they've
Missy.
Previously.
So I've got a mind bender for you.
Sure.
What if River Song actually regenerates again? Mm-hmm. Because she had, you know, she was conceived in the TARDIS and mm-hmm. she had a couple of regenerations in her, and then she gave her energy to the Doctor back True. When he was trying to kill Hitler or whatever it was. What if she has one last regeneration and she regenerates into Osgood?
Oh, okay.
That would be cool. That would be very cool.
I thought you were going to say Roger Delgado, but you know, that's the different way to take it. Yeah.
R.I.P. Roger Delgado. Seriously, if his corpse reanimated, would still make a better Master than anything Stephen Moffat can write.
No, we're going to get the hologram Delgado. Hologram Delgado. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, whatever. Like, clearly, we've seen that they are willing to put different actors in the same, you know, into the older roles, like fake Christopher Eccleston in the Doctor Goodbye thing.
Well, there was the rumor that they were going to be bringing back kind of weird crossovers with, you know, Hartnell's Doctor by bringing that actor that played him in the Adventure of Space and Time, actually utilizing him as the Doctor.
That's meta as fuck. I'd be down with it. Like, I'd be sure. Great. Absolutely.
Sean did send a message along. He obviously, as I mentioned earlier, he can be with us today, but he did say had a nice couple things to note. So he says, I think I'm the last remaining TARDIS caster that's still positive about Capaldi and the show in general. No, Sean, I'm still positive about Capaldi. I think after last season, he may have finally settled.
I've got no problem with Capaldi. Capaldi's never been my issue.
It's been Moffat. It's been Moffat.
I got no problems with Capaldi. And anybody who wants to see the Doctor or the Capaldi version of the Doctor that I really long for, BBC America.
Yes.
After midnight every Saturday. The thick of it.
Yeah, they're playing.
That's my fucking Doctor right there. Okay. I mean, obviously without the swears, but I mean that's the Capaldi that really could bring Doctor Who to a next level. But I don't think we've got the writing staff to do it.
Maybe that was always part of it too. Like part of the reason, like, you know, now with the like benefit of time passing and everything like that, me disliking the mean ass Doctor that like hates humanity and is constantly insulting them in like a very direct way, not the kind of like offhanded way that a David Tennant or a Tom Baker would. Mm-hmm. I wonder if it was literally because, like, well, at the end of the day, this is a kid's show, and we can't go all the way with it. So instead of, like, feeling actually, like, kind of, like he had some kind of fire in his belly, and like a thick of it type situation, and, like, he was actually, like, active and, you know, just had a real emotion, it just felt like he was grumpy. Like, they had to, like, take it halfway to where you wanted it with like the thick of it Doctor, and then like keep, but then also like, kids watch this show. It's on after that like blue sailboat whatever thing, and then on Saturdays.
Blue Peter is Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, and Doctor Who is Saturdays. It was always on after Grandstand.
Okay, I see. I'm sorry.
Back when there was only one station at the BBC in the Okay, yeah, so he continues. I'm stoked to see what he does now that he's had a full season under his belt to get comfortable in the role. I'm curious if the prequel episode will tie in with the rest of the season in a compelling way, but the fact that they went back to the planet, sorry, Steven, for spoilers, that the Eighth Doctor died on is already a great hook for me.
Oh, I already knew that. I had seen, like, spoilers online and stuff like that about that.
By the way, Marcus, what do you think the Doctor gave the witch there? What did he hand her? It was like some key to the universe or something, right?
It was some sort of talisman that's appeared before. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, and look, Stephen, you missed out on this one, but basically, I think you and I are on the same wavelength because I said, you know, I love the prequels, but what's the point? Because they never go anywhere because Moffat forgets where we're going halfway through a season and never answers the fucking question. So, you know, all this conversation that we have in the prequel, it probably means nothing. You know, they could be talking about K-9 for all we know. He's looking for
you. Yeah.
I mean, who's looking for you? It's the kid from that John Cusack movie who wants his $3.
It could
be anybody. And I think that, look, that's the problem we all have is that, you know, Moffat, he just drives himself up a cul-de-sac, promises, and under-delivers. So, we'll see.
I mean, in fairness, that kid did sell him a newspaper.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Like, he owes him that $3. Those $3.
Well, plus he sold the Doctor a newspaper back in the 80s and is still trying to find him, and with interest, it's now $300.
And the kid is like 50 now. Wonder what he's up to.
Sean continues with, and this is going to be controversial, I hope Missy sticks around for a long time. Please don't hit me, Marcus. I'm just conveying Sean's words.
I can't get to the internet and hit you, Dolly. Is
he says, I hope Osgood is a Zygon clone and that the real one is still dead. I'd like the show to have consequences at least once in a while.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he says, and I'm very curious where they go with Clara. I hope they make her interesting and keep us all as fans because I'm kind of over it. I thought she had a great season last year, as did I, Sean. But I also thought her send-off at Christmas would have been amazing. Just fantastic. And instead, they bait and switch the whole thing. So we have a lot of reasons to like her as the show progresses and they do some interesting things with her character. Because right now, kind of ready for a new companion. I think we're all ready for a new companion at this point, right?
I mean, that's, you know, she's been around about as long as most of the, you know, really major ones have been. You know, it's a little bit hard because we have such long gaps between when we get to see her and when we do get to see her. Half the time it's only for like, you know, four episodes before the BBC decides that they're spending too much money on the best thing they do. So I don't know what, I mean, what the hell are they going to do? Like, it's not like they're spending money on Top Gear anymore. Like, come on, just give me like a full season of Doctor Who.
Or they're spending money on the new Top Gear with, you know, Chris Evans. Oh yeah.
Are they really? Is that a real thing? Or are you making this up?
No, there's a whole conversation that we can have about some of the co-hosts they're talking about for Top Gear. They're basically reuniting 90s British breakfast TV shows on Top Gear. They're looking at bringing in Zoe Ball.
Okay. So when you say Chris Evans, you don't mean Captain America.
No, I mean the ginger specky bastard who used to host the Big Breakfast in the UK, and then Thank God It's Friday or whatever the hell it's called. Interestingly enough, was married to Billy Piper.
Was he really? Interesting.
A long time ago.
There is the Doctor Who.
He was 50.
Wow.
It's all cyclical.
It's all cyclical.
Time is a circle.
That's all we had planned. Actually, we've been recording Marcus and I for almost an hour now, 50 minutes or so.
Was that all Sean had to say?
That's all Sean had to say. Thank you, Sean. He said quite a lot in his statement. I wouldn't say that's all. That's quite a bit. Again, he's bummed he could be here this time, but he will be with us next week, next Monday.
Not to like derail anything, like if we're getting close to end, but one thing I do want to talk about, just because it's the one thing I kind of know because I've seen the trailer and not the prequel.
Yeah.
I don't think we give like enough for as much, you know, for as often as they kind of go fucking nowhere and like everything like that. I don't think we give we've ever really taken the time to just like point out how cool the monsters on Doctor Who have become. Like, I've started looking just like visually in these last couple of years.
Sure.
And I really, really like in the trailer, like the look of a lot of these things, like the weird, like giant, like welding mask knife things, and the
Big Daddies from BioShock. Yeah.
Whatever they are, you know, and the man with like the three faces, like I forget his name, but the guy who does the person who does the special effects and like the practical effects for Doctor Who just fucking needs a raise. Like, he needs to be like, they need to be in Hollywood, like producing like a Steven Spielberg movie and like getting like teaching them how to make movies without like cartoons again. Like, fucking anything. I'm just rewatching this trailer over and over again. So I don't know, just a minor thought that I had.
Yeah, I mean, Doctor Who has introduced so many, you know, amazing looking monsters, or you know, in the Moffat run. I mean, if you remember going back to, I think it was Spaceship, you know, the episode where England was in space and floating on a giant turtle, and we had those smiley characters. They went nowhere.
Exactly,
because the visual effects department is nailing it, and Moffat can't keep up.
Those smilers don't even make sense to me. Like, I don't understand what their purpose was in that whole thing. Like, they literally just brushed them aside with like a one line from Matt Smith saying like, they're just like propaganda or something. And like, but they like look so cool, and they like are genuinely scary. And I don't know. It's always disappointing because I feel like if we're talking about how we feel about the season going in, I feel like every season I'm always super excited to see these monsters, and I always think like, oh, that they cut such a good trailer. But that's because I only have to see the monsters for like 4 seconds in like a clip with music playing over them. I don't actually have to see where they go with them, which is like Marcus said, the fucking nowhere.
I
don't know.
No, I really do hope that they do something with these monsters, because I still like those 2D. Or those from last year, the
boneless.
The bones. Oh, yeah. They were wonderful, wonderful.
They looked amazing. Like, and those were CG, and those, like, they looked more, like, even if they didn't, I mean, maybe it's kind of a Uncanny Valley thing, but, like, they didn't look realistic, but they looked awesome. Like, I liked looking at them, even though, like, I could tell, obviously, that they were cartoon characters, you know?
Sure.
But I think that's a thing that I'm definitely getting, that I'm noticing more and more as I watch season after season of Doctor Who, of just seeing these awesome looking creatures and then being so disappointed with like how they're actually used. And then they go into a closet for, you know, 7 months until they do the finale, and then like, oh, there's three of them standing in the background as they push the doctor into a box or something.
Well, that's all we had for any closing thoughts for as we get ramped up here. I think we've been trying to figure out how to name this season of the Lonely TARDIS. Maybe we'll just line it up with the episodes of the show instead of giving seasons to the ship to our show. You know, that'll be, you know, when we get to Hellbent, it'll be Lonely TARDIS, Hellbent, Lonely TARDIS.
So this one should be season 9 prequel.
Yeah, this will be season 9 prequel. Yep.
Season 9 prequel. Okay, sure.
Next week's episode might be titled Marcus Puts His Head Through a Brick Wall.
Probably it'll probably be titled that.
Well, hold on, let me check some dates here. Okay. So not next week, but the week after that we can title the episode Lego Dimensions.
Yeah, we can definitely talk about that. Yep. Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to. I think
I wish I put $20 on that idea happening 3 years ago.
Yeah, I still remember we tweeted about it, we wrote about it, we talked about it on the podcast. I do think though they do need a whole separate Doctor Who game.
Certainly,
but I think just the amount of fever and fan outcry for it, the happiness that it spurred, I think that may be enough to get the Traveler's Tales folks and BBC to really consider making it its own game.
I'm just looking at this trailer for it, and I don't want to be hyperbolic or anything like that. And I'm not like a huge Toys to Life guy. I'm not a Skylanders or a Disney Infinity person. But like, this looks like they've kind of fit a Lego Doctor Who game inside of a whole other game. Like, it looks crazy how much they have in here. Like, the inside of the TARDIS and the TARDIS itself, and like all the different like sets of like medieval Doctor Who type places that you would go, and the Cybermen and the Daleks and like the companions and multiple Doctors. It just looks so cool.
And they're going to be releasing more Doctors as they go along with the game, because you're going to get more than just Capaldi. You're going to get Tennant. You're going to get Hartnell. You're going to get
They're releasing all the Doctors, which is going to be fantastic. I mean, I need a Lego K9, and I need a Lego Donna and a Lego Sarah Jane Smith, and that is my ideal TARDIS crew.
Yes, there you go.
Does that expansion pack release day and date with Lego Dimensions, or is it sometime after? Because it's still not available for pre-order.
I think it hits in November.
Okay,
Doctor Who pack hits in November.
The set comes in November.
Okay, so we'll talk about it more then, which is fine because the season will be wrapping up at that point, the series. So
that little montage they play at the end of the trailer, like where it just shows the Capaldi actually regenerating, and then like Hartnell and everybody else, like all in a row. It's it's just I got a little
it's not awesome.
Choked up wasn't the right word for the first time I saw it, but I felt like this swell in my chest when I saw it. I was so happy.
Most definitely. I'm excited for it. The Doctor Who game we all deserve. Any other final thoughts before we put the lid on the ship, as nobody says? Except I just did.
Let's go put the lid on the ship.
Let's go put the lid on the ship.
I want to be happy next week. I think I'm so down on Moffat right now. As I said, even a half decent episode might just send me into the peaks of ecstasy. I just want consistency. Put a little consistency out there, but make it good consistency and stop the faffing and the pandering.
All our listeners out there, please send your tweets to Marcus, get him juiced up for the episode. You can find him at Annoyed Gamer. Just let him know how excited you are, how great the show is hopefully going to make you feel, and I'm sure he's going to reciprocate it.
Yeah, I mean, like, his name is Annoyed Gamer. I'm sure this won't backfire for the people involved at all, bothering him all day.
I'm not going to have rampant arguments with anybody unless, they go full on Norton. if you pull a full Sean on me, then there's going to be some issues. But, I want to go in, happy. One thing I will add, by the way, BBC America is doing full-on Doctor Who takeover from Wednesday, all the way through, and it's going to be a bunch of classic episodes, including Tom Baker episodes, which is great.
I just saw that today, the ad for that.
Yeah, but let me just ask and throw this out there to the gods that whoever signed that deal with Nerdist Industries to provide content for the Doctor's finest, let that person be fired, let that contract be burned, and let Chris Hardwick and his crew be kept as far fucking away from it. I've no doubt that they love it, but I'm sorry, it's just so fucking inane. I don't want to see a bunch of fucking crappy YouTube shit. If I'm going to see interviews about Doctor Who, I'd rather go to, you know, show the people who actually were involved in the show in a serious capacity, not being talked to by some perky fucking little sprite who is probably a lovely person, but it's just... I mean, I know 10-year-old kids will be embarrassed watching that crap. You know, you know, and BBC America, the build-up to the 50th, pulled some really good stuff together.
Yeah.
So whoever's in charge over there right now can go and jump off a fucking cliff, with all due respect.
At Annoyed Gamer, you can find Marcus Beer. You can find Sean Norton, who gave us some lovely thoughts earlier, at Sean Norton. Steven, who gave us a good amount of levity during our discussion.
I try to bring the youthful vigor.
The vigor, very vigorous. You can find him at Steven Strum on the Twitters.
If you need to know how that's spelled, it goes something like this.
You can buy the first wing, just go get a Queen Drumble, Fancy City, go, go, go.
What?
You mean Samba Pokoinga?
What was that?
You want me to say it now?
I kind of do. I wanted to bring this up while I was talking to Marcus.
Samba Pokoinga, Gerald Quindrobo, Sandicilio, go, go, go. Longest place name in Europe, second longest place name in the world.
You can say it. Boom. Oh, my Lord. Oh, Marcus. If you don't know what we're talking about, this is the second longest, the longest name of a city in...
It's the longest place name in Europe and the second longest in the world. The longest is actually 104 letters or something and is down in New Zealand.
This is my favorite episode.
And Marcus can say it. And Marcus can say it. And he says it brilliantly.
Yeah, no, you actually just said it I mean, having just listened
like
to
somebody
that.
Who speaks Welsh?
Somebody who speaks Welsh, yes.
Well, fancy that.
I mean, it just, I don't know, man. I figured that was like a thing that like even people, like there are definitely places in the United States of America where I look at it and it's like, what the fuck is that? But
like Joe, Montana?
Yeah, exactly. Fargo, Minneapolis.
The village I come from is Pontar de Lais.
Okay.
Which translates to bridge over the river Dalai. So, I mean, it's basically, you know, I speak the lingo in it.
Maybe it's only amazing to us, like dumb Americans, because we come from a country where, like, literally, you go 300 feet in one direction, and it's just like we just stole a bunch of shit from a different country, and so like nobody actually like knows what anything is called.
Just before we leave, you can find me at Dolly Domovsky. Before we leave, one more comment just rolled in from the always friendly Susie. 487 on the Twitters at Susie487. She says, in reference to Clara, she's already had like three good endings in season 8 alone. I'm tired of her. Sorry, Jenna Coleman.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, I think we're again, all. We're like.
Yeah. It's the River Song problem. It's just that, everything, like, they're dragging out characters. Like, I love the way that Marcus phrased it. Like, it's a cul-de-sac. It's just like, we're going to go and go and go and go and go. And then it's like, oh, well, let's turn back around and do it all again.
Yep. You can find the Lonely TARDIS at Lonely TARDIS on Twitter. Find us on the iTunes or Stitcher or whatever your preferred music listening service is. I'm trying to get us onto Spotify, but we'll see how that goes. Please rate and review us. Give us ratings because that helps us get up the ladder there. And there are fewer Doctor Who podcasts now. For some reason, several of them shut down over the last few months. So,
oh, I wonder. Could it be because there's no Doctor Who to talk about?
Some of them completely shut down. So that puts us right in the spotlight to produce some amazing content for you guys. And I've got
I'm still attached. It won't.
Whoa. But I've got some fun things planned for you guys, including some weekly trivia, which I'm going to be pitching to you gentlemen, hopefully, to get things to test your mettle, I guess. Find us at LonelyTARDIS.com. We're going to be posting a lot more often there, some fun stuff. I do have a bunch of swag over here, which I'll start giving away this week. Stuff that I've collected over the years. And so it's about time to just let it go, as they say at Disney songs. And that's it. Thank you for joining us on this season 9 trailer preseason episode of The Lonely TARDIS. We'll see you next time. Stephen, take us away.
Just up the road from San Bible Push Wingish, go get a Queen Drumble, Santa Celia, go, go, go.
Tidy.
Yeah.
Good fall. Yeah, everybody.
Goodbye.